Welcome to the Crash Church Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Mark Andrews.
Love does. Now, I grew up playing baseball. Any baseball fans in the house? Wow, it's going to be a rough night. I played about 8 years of Little League baseball, starting when I was about 5 or 6, and I was quite the little slugger. No, I was not very good. But I really enjoyed it, played it for years and years and years. And have you ever been at a sporting event and one of these overbearing parents were there and they were screaming the entire time like there were paychecks on the line and you were like, dude, we're 7, it's cool, just relax. Have you ever seen this or have you ever been this? Can I just point at somebody next to you if they've, that's right, I thought so. There was a dad, he was the dad of the pitcher who was the best player on the team, so maybe it worked, but he screamed the entire time, every single game, every practice, and he was like an unofficial coach in his mind. We didn't receive that, but he thought he was. And he was always yelling random stuff at us, and he was trying to pump us up and help us, I guess. And one of the classic things he would say was, PMA, PMA, PMA. Every time we'd go up to bat, like, what? PMA, PMA, you'd strike out and you'd be like, PMA, when you came back to the dugout. PMA, he told us many times, meant positive mental attitude. You can see this guy was a winner. And he would scream PMA at us constantly. PMA in the batting cages was the worst. We were out there practicing, you know, it's not even a game. And, you know, we'd swing and miss and, you know, somebody'd be upset. PMA, PMA, and just scream at us, which I thought was pretty obnoxious. And so something else that he screamed often, which I thought was pretty obvious, was keep your eye on the ball, right? So we would be playing baseball, and this probably works for any sport. And as we're staring at the machine that's about to pitch it or the pitcher who's about to pitch it, and we're watching and our eyes are glued to them, he would say, keep your eye on the ball. Like, we're trying, man. Like, that's what we're doing. And then we'd miss, and you go, PMA, PMA, PMA. Incidentally, one of the great highlights of my life was years later, I when I was a teenager, I went back to those same batting cages with my father. And as we were leaving and getting in the car, it just so happened, we had gotten done with the batting cages. As we're getting in the car, I look over and I see that dad, I see that unofficial coach over there, and he's in the batting cages himself, and he's like in the, you know, 70-mile-an-hour one, and he's just like, whiff, like he's just missing, strike, and he can't hit it. And so in a rare moment that my father let me get away with sarcasm to an adult, I screamed at the top of my lungs, PMA, PMA, and then we dove into the car and started laughing uncontrollably, and it was one of the great memories with my father right there. Keep your eye on the ball, PMA, positive mental attitude. These are things that many people feel like that if they implement that in their life, that they're going to be good, that they're going to live a good life, that they're going to be good people. And people, often I'll talk to people and they'll say, well, I'm just trying to be a good person. Have you heard this? Like, I'm just going to be a good person. I'm not really into the Jesus stuff. I'm not necessarily into the God thing and all that, but man, you know, I've got this positive mental attitude. I just like surround myself with good vibes, man. It's just good vibes. I'm just vibing, right? Like good vibes. Like, are you negative, bro? Get away, man. Do you even lift? Listen, man, it's positive. PMA. People think that if they have PMA, people think if they focus on the ball, if they focus on life hard enough, if they look at what they're building and what they're doing and their career and their job and their family and all of their things going on, and they focus, that they're gonna be able to connect with the life that they want. But what do we find out? Life easily slips right past us, doesn't it? It's like we're focused so hard on life, focused so hard, and it's gone. It slides right past us and we don't connect with it. In fact, we miss it and it's out of reach. And I feel like that's where many, many, many of us, including myself, have landed many times in our life and may be there right now. But Jesus shows up and teaches us that he offers us, listen, life to the full. Someone say to the full. Abundant, overflowing, an awesome life, a life that fills up the balloon all the way until it pops, not the safe life that we've talked about. Here's one of the interesting things Jesus said in Matthew 10 and 39, like this. He said, if you cling to your life, you will what? If you cling to your life, you will. But if you give up your life for me, you'll find it. Isn't that interesting? He said that the harder you grip, the more you're focused in on your life, the more you clutch in, and you got to make sure that you're doing your thing, and it's kind of about you and yours. He said, when you do that, you actually miss the life. You don't connect with the life that you're longing for, that you really want. He said it's when you give up your life. What does that mean? It means giving up control. Nobody likes that, right? But Jesus says, listen, if you'll trust me, I'll lead you into a better life, a life to the full. And so unlike baseball, Jesus is saying, listen, I don't want you to keep your eyes on the ball. I don't want you to just stare at life and what you're doing and what you're trying to achieve. I want you to turn your eyes to me. Because when your eyes are on me, you connect with the life that he came to give us. Somebody said amen. That's the offer of Jesus. When we cling, when we grip our lives, we can miss it. But God wants you to connect with the life you were made for. You were made for something. We've talked about that in the last few weeks. You have a calling on your life. Paul said to live worthy of the calling, to live a life big enough for the incredible, incredible calling that God has placed on you. And that's what we want to do. And Jesus says, listen, don't do life by yourself. Now, it's not only people that aren't walking with Jesus that miss this and mess this up and don't always connect. Sometimes it's us, right? It's those of us that are following Jesus. It's those who are interested in God and we're trying to move that way. We have a tendency to miss it too. Christians, in fact, I think do this a lot. We miss it. And what we do is in all of our Bible facts, in our theology, in our songs or in our activities, in our rituals and maybe religion, we can completely miss Jesus. Isn't that interesting? When Jesus showed up on the planet, the people who saw him were those who were not religious at all. The people who completely missed him and didn't even see him for who he was were who? The religious people. And I think that that's something that we have to look out for is this. You can't learn Jesus like a math class. Any math nerds in here? You can't, several of you, wow, it's fantastic. You can't learn Jesus like algebra 2, man. You can't learn Jesus like calculus. You can't do it. And this is what Christian people want. We want the numbers, we want the linear pattern that'll give us the life that Jesus promised, right? X plus Y gives us Z, the life that's awesome. We all want Z. Someone say, yeah. I mean, that's what we want. We want like 7 is the number of perfection. Come on. -6 is the number of man. Come on. 7 - 6 is 1, which is the number of unity. Come on. 7 + 6 + 1 is 14, which is the number of double portion and perfection found in the genealogy of one Jesus, Jesus. Boom, shakalaka, I'm saved. Christians are weird, man. We want the formula. We want the pattern. We want something that is A plus B gives me this. If I memorize enough of this, if I do this and this, if I attend here at this day, at this time, if I say certain things, then I'm good, man. Glory bound. I'm going to heaven. But Jesus says, listen, you're not going to get to know me. You're not going to get to understand me in a formula. You're not going to get to understand me unless you're walking with me, unless you're moving with me, unless we're doing something together. Why? Because love does. And Jesus invites us into that. It's when I take obedient action. Say it with me. Obedient action. Say it one more time. In love, motivated in love. When I obey and I take action and I do it in love, I learn to walk and to live with the God of the universe. I learned to walk and to live in the life that he offers, the full life, the abundant life. It's when I do. It's when I take action. It's not just when I hear and recite and hear preaching and music. All of that is good. It's when I begin doing things and walking with him in my purpose. I get to know him. The point is knowing him and being known by him. The point is relationship. Not with the rules out of fear, but with the ruler out of love. The point is not to keep a list and a set of ideals. This is not the point. We do those things, and there are things that we do abide by, but that's not the point. The point is a deep, real relationship with Jesus who is alive and wants to know you. That's the difference. religion and even churchy stuff becomes about what do we believe, and here's the ideas, and here are the things that we do and we don't do, and here's the list. But while some of that is good, listen, that's not the point. The point is always relationship with him. Somebody said amen. It's knowing him. It's being known by him. It's about love. Someone say love. Love, love that leads to action. Not just like, I love you. It's just a special feeling I have. I just love you. It's love that moves and motivates you to do and to action. Now, how many of you have been in love and it's motivated you to be a little bit crazy? How many of you are too ashamed to admit that? Let me see you too, yeah. Okay, good. Now love makes us a little bit crazy. It makes us do things, even like, not even love, we just like. And that can make us weird. Has it ever motivated anyone to stalk anyone online? Social media, anyone ever here? Let's get super honest and get to know each other. How many have ever stalked somebody? I'm not even done with the question, we have hands. Honesty is flooding the room. I love it. Maybe you like them. Maybe you disliked them and just wanted to judge them. Maybe you just wanted to check them out, or you're interested in something, and so we can, you know, hit their Facebook or their Instagram or their Twitter or different things and kind of see where they've been and what they're doing. And it's amazing the amount of information you can learn about somebody in just a few minutes looking online and just looking at the information that they put out there. But here's the thing. If you don't know them, but you have all this information about them, it's just kind of weird. It's a little bit weird. I mean, can you imagine going on a first date and you sit down and you're like, oh man, I'm so glad we came here. This is like my favorite restaurant. And he's like, I know. I've already ordered you the eggplant parmesan. What? How's Barbara, your mother, doing? Check, please, right? Stalker. Wouldn't it be creepy if you brought someone to church? That wouldn't be creepy. I'd be very excited if you did that. But you should do that for sure on Mother's Day and every Saturday. But wouldn't it be creepy if you brought a first-time guest to church and I went up to them and I was like, hey, man, what's up? What's going on? How was your trip in Florida? Yeah. Yeah. Is that sunburn going away yet? No? Did you get that rash taken care of? Yeah. It's cool, man. It's cool. Your friend would be like, cult, cult, run. It's a cult. Get out. Listen, I wonder if we're not maybe sometimes a little bit guilty, even as Christians, of stalking Jesus a little bit. What do I mean? I mean that we can get a lot of information about him. We can know his mother's name. We can know like a wedding he went to. We can know some people he hung out with, which beaches he liked to walk along on the Sea of Galilee. We can know all these facts and figures. We can even turn them into songs and sing about all these facts that we know about him. And we can do that, but information without an encounter is just empty. It's just unfulfilling. Information alone, there's nothing wrong with it. We should get information, but without an encounter, without knowing them, it's just kind of weird. I don't want to know a bunch of facts about you and have all this stuff memorized about your life and not even know you, because then I'd be a creeper. And I definitely don't want to be a creeper for Jesus, right? I don't want to just know a bunch of information and know what I'm supposed to know without really, really having an encounter with him. It's not life to the full. Just information by itself is not the abundant life. And I think that's why a lot of people try the church thing out. And they try the Jesus thing out, sort of. And they come and they get a lot of information. And then it doesn't really do much for their life. And they leave the same way they came. And I think that the difference maker is when you begin to encounter him. When you begin to walk with him. When you begin to have conversations with him. Something changes. Somebody said amen. Jesus told a pretty sobering story. Pretty interesting story. And he talked about this idea. And he said, listen, there are people who are going to be in the judgment, right? They're going to be like, God has come back. The world's all shifted and changed. And they're going to stand before God when they come to heaven. And they're going to say, Jesus, in your name, we did like all these incredible works. Like we knew all this information about you. We knew your mother's name, where you were born, like how old you were when you died and came back. Like, we know a lot of stuff. And we did a lot of stuff. And Jesus says, depart from me. I never even knew you, right? And what was Jesus emphasizing? That was just a way of Jesus saying, listen, it's about knowing. Say knowing. It's about knowing him. It's not about religion. It's not about ritual. It's not about memorizing. Memorize the word. Do those things. Learn as much as you can about Jesus. But the point is to get closer and closer and closer to Jesus. Hear me. Jesus wants to know you. Somebody said amen. He wants to know you and he wants to be known by you. He wants to reveal himself to you. Jesus came to reveal who God was. Jesus came to show us what the invisible God looked like and how he acted and what he thought. That's who Jesus was. And Jesus is still in that business. He wants to know you deeply and he wants to reveal himself to you. Not in like a big corporate way, in a religious way. I'm talking about individually, personally, for you, for your family, for the people that you care about. Jesus wants to show how real and how loving and how powerful and how dynamic he is. Jesus wants to reveal to you the life that he's called you to live. And he wants to invite you into that because it's in knowing him that we connect with our deep purpose, with our deep calling. With our deep anointing, what we were put on the planet to do, that's real life. It's when you're tapping in and living the stuff that you were made for that you feel fully alive. Have you ever kind of just felt, man, I'm just kind of living. I'm just kind of existing. I talked to my aunt the other day on the phone and she said, Mark, I just feel like I'm just existing. I'm just here. Anyone ever felt that way? That's a common feeling. That's what we can feel very easily. And Jesus said, listen, I want to get you out of that. I want to elevate it. And it's when you begin doing the things you were made to do. How do I figure that out? I get close to him. I begin asking him to show me. I want him to invite me in and I begin pressing into it. I don't just accept everything and just kind of go through life and bump into wherever I land. I'm a pinball and well, I landed here. This is it. This is what I'm going to do for the next 27 years. This is it right here. I'm not moving out of this circle. No, Jesus is saying, come on, risk, push, tap into the passions that I've already given you. Be secretly awesome and begin doing things so that you can tap into what God has called you to do.
For more information and other resources, check out thecrash.tv.